strangely old-fashioned, an image drifting up from the past rather than the future. Nobody else was watching it, and it held little interest for her. She turned away. Green-red flame billowed into curving channels of steel and concrete. The light pulsed across the steppe toward Vitali. It was bright, dazzlingly so, and it banished the dim floods that still lit up the booster stack, even the brilliance of the steppe sun. And even before the ship had left the ground, the roar reached him, a thunder that shook his chest. Ignoring the mounting pain in his arm and shoulder, the numbness of his hands and feet, Vitali stood, opened his cracked lips, and added his voice to that divine bellow. He always had been a sentimental old fool at such moments. But there was much agitation around him. The people here, the rat-hungry, ill-trained technicians and the fat, corrupt managers alike, were turning away from the launch. They were huddling around radio sets and palm-top televisions, jewel-like soft screens showing baffling images from America. Vitali did not know the details and did not care to know, but it was clear enough that Hiram Patterson had succeeded in his promise, or threat. Even as it lifted from the ground, his beautiful bird, this last, Molnaya, was already obsolete. Vitali stood straight, determined to watch it as long as he could, until that point of light at the tip of the great smoke pillar melted into space. But now, the pain in his arm and chest reached a climax as if some bony hand was clutching there. He gasped. Still, he tried to stay on his feet, but now there was a new light rising all around him, even brighter than the rocket light that bathed the Kazakhstan steppe, and he could stand no longer. 2. The Mind's Eye. As Kate was driven into the grounds, it struck her as a typical Seattle setting. Green hills that lapped right down to the ocean, framed under a gray, lowering autumn sky. But Hiram's mansion, a giant geodesic dome, all windows, looked as if it had just landed on the hillside, one of the ugliest, most gaudy buildings Kate had ever seen. On arrival, she handed her coat to a drone. Her identity was scanned, not just a reading of her implants, but also, probably, pattern matching to identify her face, even a non-intrusive DNA sequencing, all done in seconds. Then she was ushered inside by Hiram's robot servants. Hiram was working. She wasn't surprised. The 6 months since the launch of his wormhole data pipe technology had been his busiest, and our world's most successful ever, according to the analysts. But he'd be back in time for dinner, said the drone. So she was taken to Bobby. The room was large, the temperature neutral, the walls as smooth and featureless as an eggshell. The light was low, the sound anechoic, deadened. The only furniture was a number of reclined black leather couches. Beside each of the couches was a small table with a water spigot and a stand for intravenous feeds. And here was Bobby Patterson, presumably one of the richest, most powerful young men on the planet, lying alone on a couch in the dark, eyes open but unfocused, limbs limp. There was a metal band around his temples. She sat on a couch beside Bobby and studied him. She could see that he was breathing. Slowly, and the intravenous feed he had fitted to a socket in his arm was gently supplying his neglected body. He was dressed in a loose black shirt and shorts. His body, revealed where the loose clothing lay against his skin, was a slab of muscle. But that didn't tell much about his lifestyle. Such body sculpting could now be achieved easily through hormone treatments and electrical stimulation. He could even do that while he was lying here, she thought, like a coma victim lying in a hospital bed. There was a trace of drool at the corner of his parted lips. She wiped the drool away with a forefinger and gently pushed the mouth closed. Thank you. She turned, startled. Bobby, another Bobby, identically dressed to the first, was standing beside her, grinning. Irritated, she threw a punch at his stomach. Her fist, of course, passed straight through him. He didn't flinch.
You can see me then, he said.
I see you.
You have retinal and cochlear implants, yes? This room is designed to produce virtuals compatible with all recent generations of CNS augment technology. Of course, to me, you're sitting on the back of a mean-looking phytosaur.